Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Wednesday. Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 52, Spiritualize Yourself. I hope your week is going well. And guys, exciting announcement, The Positivity Effect will be launching a store on May 1st with some awesome t-shirts and other fun products that will be added along the way to keep you feeling energized and positive. So stay tuned. All right, so let's jump in. Today, we're joined by Caitlin Hayes, a New York attorney, mother of five, and a woman who is here today to teach us why it's so important to get in touch with our spiritual self. Through her website, spiritualizeyourself.com, she will teach you how to get in touch with your higher self through the use of things like coaching and poetry. If you head over to Caitlin's radio show at blogtalkradio.com/spiritualizeyourself, you can get more information about one of her 7-day challenges. And guys, I encourage you to do so. They're very powerful. So during the episode, you're going to hear Caitlin's kids in the background. And I myself am completely okay with it because Caitlin is super busy and she's a single mom to five beautiful children. And the fact that she took some time out of her busy day to spend it with me on the show, I'm truly honored. So for more information, check out the show notes page for all the links and help me welcome her now to The Positivity Effect. Hey, Caitlin, what's up? Welcome to The Positivity Effect.
Hi, thank you, Dr. Tom. I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, no, it's for me, it's been really cool connecting with you. You know, we had an opportunity to connect in, you know, a group mastermind that we both belong to, and just we didn't, you know, it was awesome to see that we really have a lot of connection in terms of the just how we see life and everything. And we're going to be talking about a lot of awesome stuff today, you know, about helping people find that peace in their life and having connection, you know, whether it's with the universe, with God, with themselves, whatever that is, whatever it looks like for them, you know, it all stems from that. And it's such an important part, you know, a cornerstone. And if you don't have that cornerstone, it's very easy to just get swept up by life.
Well, absolutely. By life, by addictions, by bad behavior, bad thinking, bad situations. Absolutely. That's why my whole theory lies in the work in yourself. It's a commitment, and it is, you know, you're doing the work and you're retraining your mind and your reconnaissance of what has occurred in even in your life. But when you do this work, the results in your life are better. So it's really one of these investments that you make in yourself that translates into you experiencing better circumstances into your life. So there's a pragmatic reason behind committing to living in peace in yourself, within yourself, accepting what you've gone through, appreciating with gratitude the lessons that you've learned, even the hard way, and, you know, stepping into yourself and being in a state of accountability.
Right, right. And, you know, Caitlin, I gave a little backstory, you know, before we actually jumped on the call. Just, you know, you're such a seasoned professional. You have so much going on, you know, from just the being a New York attorney to helping, you know, really be the conduit for international business transactions. There's so much to your professional career. But then, you know, today we're here talking about that spiritual side of you. And I'm sure everything that you do professionally, you would not be able to do it at the level that, you know, that you do it at today if you didn't have that centeredness inside of you. And also, you know, I had the pleasure to, you know, for you to share with me that you have five children and being a mother and having, you know, doing all of these things, you can't really do them all well if you're not first centered inside of yourself.
Absolutely not. It's not possible. And I'm a single mother at that doing this on my own, which is fine because, again, it's another opportunity to, you know, really account for your actions and really be in a state of that accountability. So everything that I do and even the clients that I attract, they're on this higher vibrational. Sorry, it's spring break over here.
No, that's what I love. You know, it's actually kind of cute that they're here, you know, right now, because for me, you know, I have my brother and my sister-in-law, they have two kids. And for you, Caitlin, I love to say this to any mother. I have the utmost respect to any mother, because it is, you know, it's so much work that goes into it, especially for a father, but for a mother, you know, it's such a different connection. And the fact that you also are just striving, you know, thriving, actually, that's the word, thriving professionally, thriving with helping people find themselves spiritually, and then also making sure that you're guiding your kids. You know, it's just, for me, it's an honor to have you on, really.
Thank you so much. And, you know, it's an important segue to what you're saying, is that, you know, as mothers, we have an opportunity to play the victim role very, very frequently, whenever we want, really, because, oh no, it's not that your dog ate your homework, it's your child was sick and you couldn't go to your meeting, or,
right,
you
know, right.
I didn't sleep last night, therefore I can't show up for you today because I'm a mom, and so there I wear that badge of excuses with me, and that's not the reason either. I mean, so as much as we have a big role, we have to have a big mind about that as well and take responsibility for that aptitude that we've been given, because if you're going to be a mother and you're going to do it well, what our journey includes is teaching our children how to react and interact and be around their circumstances, but not to become their circumstances. So
right,
I think
right.
It's that trajectory switch. We see our job as a mother, and if you're able to step away from the responsibilities and the seeming endless tasks, you can really use your children as your most sacred spiritual practice.
Oh, I love that you can use your children as your most sacred spiritual practice. Yeah, that's powerful.
And it's no BS, because literally, when you look at how you're reacting with your child and your children, and you are feeling and you're conscious of the emotions that's springing up inside of you, you can, you know, really do a fast forward and a rewind simultaneously as to what your underlying emotional issues and need to get healed are. Because if you're feeling, you know, impatient with your child, somewhere along your life, somebody told you that you're not worthy of waiting for, that somebody hastened you along and you didn't feel like you have your voice. And so you're literally doing the same thing to your child. Impatience. I mean, let's all be a little bit objective with regard to what I'm saying in terms of the terms being used, because it's all very subjective when you're applying it. But
right, right.
If you're finding yourself in a position with your child, you have to reflect on what emotions you're feeling that you're emitting on them, because you're either sustaining the cycle of dysfunction that our parents have, because everybody is dysfunctional unless they're enlightened, and there are still very few people that are enlightened in this world. So assuming that there's some dysfunction that you were raised with, which it's not a pun on your parents, it's fine. Everyone has it until they're awakened, and it's part of the journey, I believe, our journey of commitment to get to that point. But if you're dealing in the systems of dysfunction, as a mother, you have to be aware of that in your experience so that you're not repeating it, so that we're actually raising more evolved children than how we were raised.
Right, right. And, you know, like, I really want to dive into just talking about, you know, your brand, talking about Spiritualize Yourself, talking about your book, but just hearing all of these, you know, these lessons that you're sharing, they're very powerful lessons. You know, I'm going to myself go back and listen, because it's very powerful when we think about just these connections and just from birth and from childhood, and, you know, it's actually very healing. It could be very healing for somebody, to, you know, if they recognize some of these lessons, to maybe they have some bitterness towards their parents. Now they can go back and understand that, right, you know, the parent is doing the best with the cards that they have at the time. They're doing the best that they can possibly do. And like you said, there's very few people in the world that are enlightened. So you provide a lot of value in this realm of helping people find that spiritual self, helping people connect with peace and find that inner voice inside themselves so they can be more enlightened. But before, you know, you're able to do that, you have to do that own work in yourself. So when was that point in your life when you really started to do this work in yourself?
And I'll get to that. I just want to add one more point to that regarding our parents and the victim ideology. This has to get shattered, because this is the whole disempowerment and the whole facade underlying why people are mediocre and why we accept mediocrity and all this other BS. Because the fact is that we have to accept and forgive and understand everything that's occurred in our life and use all of the lessons that we've learned as the stepping stone for us to enter into a higher consciousness, a higher dimensional reality. So that's just where I wanted to add that point there. But
yeah, that's huge. Thank you for saying that. Yeah,
huge. It's huge. I mean, it's being in a state of empowerment versus victimhood. And once we enter into that idea, everything starts to shift because nobody is a victim. Nobody is a victim. I understand my background is human rights atrocities. So let me go into my background as per your inquiry. I started studying suffering in college. I worked at Human Rights Watch. I studied about desaparecidos in Latin America. I really became very fascinated with international politics and the geopolitics, the way by which the countries are interacting and, you know, the unintended consequences of war and terrible tools of war and things along those lines. Along that journey, I also was dealing with my own eating disorders, so I was having my own internal suffering. And I think in studying the suffering on the outer world, it started to become very confusing regarding if all of these things are concurrently happening in the world, how am I, you know, a Caucasian girl that's in a good university that's never really had big wants financially, how am I supposed to be happy? How am I supposed to coexist with these terrible things? I was not in a place of distinction between the things that were happening in the world and my own internal distinction of that God resides within me, that I deserve to be in peace, and these things that I've now worked on in my own life to get to where I am now, and I'm in a very good internal state of peace. So from the studying of suffering to the death of my mother, and she died right after law school, to, you know, my embattling relationship with my ex, who suffered from, and, you know, alcoholism, among other things, I think my journey to letting go, because it all comes down to you have to accept and forgive your parents, and you have to look at what they've given you, and you have to be grateful, and you have to just move on. And I think until you can get through that part, you're stuck. So I my mother died when I was 24, and through that experience, I had to confront, you know, a lot of my own ideas of her shortcomings and consequences thereof, to be able to embrace the beauty of my experience with her. And my father, you know, I look up to my father. He's a very stable man. He's provided well for us and his family, and he's on his own journey. So you can't expect to demand people to behave towards you a certain way. That's insane, and it's never going to be satisfactory. So I think in accepting who your parents are and shifting gears into the outside world, into the inside world, and saying, okay, this and this and this, this is what happened to me, this is a result of that, and now I stand in a state of accountability, and now even though this and this happened to me, that doesn't give me a right to judge what my neighbor's doing, to gossip about my cousin, to perpetuate negative thinking and negative things, and I'm actually a vegan too, so I believe really what you're eating and playing into the animal cruelty. I think all that plays into our negative emotional field as well, but that's a digression perhaps for a different show. But for me, you know, what you're eating and how you're thinking are intimately related.
And that whole process, you know, as you started to heal and you started to really process everything and forgive and try to work through these emotions, what was that time frame? You know, I think people feel that, you know, they just want this quick fix, but because they want the quick fix, they don't even give themselves the allowance to start to forgive or to start to take that step forward.
Well, literally, you have the quick fixes, and then you have the long term like treatment plan. And a quick fix is I do a talk radio show, and I write poetry. And I think in writing poetry, I think I'm trying to provide that little light there, because if you are reading a 3-paragraph little sonnet, if your mind is stopping, that is the moment. So it's, you have the long-term commitment to it, but it's a matter of creating the space for the peace to set upon you. So once you get a feeling of that in one moment, then you can let the mind come chatter back up again and give you some agita and then give you some concern. And then you can break it down again and break down a new layer of the onion by which you have to heal. So once you start building up those little moments, I think it doesn't seem so daunting. You know, go to a beach and go and be in nature and do meditation. And there's so much free information online on YouTube to just kind of do some meditations and some guided meditations and listen to some nice music and write and be creative and find outlets for yourself to start the flow. Because so much of the negative mental chatter is because we're not allowing the creativity to flow. So we're stifled. So we're so worried about what everybody else is doing because we're not doing anything ourselves. So that's what that mediocrity, that status quo, it's not even the truth, because frankly, if you're not evolving, you are digressing, and the extents are varying, but ultimately we have to set our standards higher.
Right.
So,
right.
No, you need the outlets.
No, and I'm so happy that you said that, because I posed that question, you know, purposely, kind of as a devil's advocate, because I agree wholeheartedly with you. And I think for me too, you've actually kind of just put it in perspective for me. I think it's something I've always done my whole life, where if there was ever something that I had to emotionally process, I would jump into something. I would, whether it would be songwriting or, you know, writing poetry. And, you know, we had a chance to talk about that with songwriting and the connection with poetry and just how powerful it is. And for me, just like listening to music is that quick adjustment for me, where, you know, the fact, you know, poetry can so eloquently put something into words that I don't want to physically say out loud. And then it helps me process it without me having to physically say it out loud. And then if I want, once I'm ready, after, you know, maybe writing some poetry or listening to poetry or reading poetry, that I am able to now put it together a little bit cleaner for me to physically be able to process it. So that whole creative aspect of it really is such a powerful key to healing anything that we're struggling with.
Well, and it allows God to come alive through us. So it brings us actually in a flow of divinity.
Yes.
In Michelangelo painting, you know, the 16th chapel, and, you know, any kind of Beethoven doing these amazing, you know, symphonies. It's a matter of allowing yourself to be, I use the word channel, not in a way of kind of psychic or mediums, but in a way of, you know, energetic flow of like prana. So that's why I think creativity is so important, because you're alive. So energy is flowing through you, so you're healthier. It's like exercising, but you're creating. So you're working with all these different types of internal kind of litmuses as to success. So you're creating your product, your proof of action. So you have all these tangible things by which you can trick your mind. Because my whole teachings too, when I'm doing the oratory work, is a matter of, you just have to sometimes trick your mind. You have to go in through the back door. If you're stuck on an issue, it doesn't really matter what way you can break it down. You just have to start. So you have to be flexible with your mind in order to find peace. I guess that's what I mean. But the creative outlets, it's integral to that. Feeling alive.
Yeah, it's so true. Like I last week I had on, he's actually the kind of the creative energy behind all of my logo design and everything for the Positivity Effect. His name's Aaron Pearson, and he's just a very creative individual. And we had that whole conversation. It's so powerful that, you know, when you're able to, when you take, give yourself the space to be creative and to, you know, not everybody's an artist, but, you know, whatever that looks like for you, whether it's actually consuming something to be creative in your mind, you know, watching a movie, a documentary, reading something, whatever it is, whatever that looks like, it really helps you connect with that spiritual being that we all have within us. And the more that we're able to connect with the spiritual being, we're able to then we're able to even create more, and we're able to provide more, and we're able to give more of ourselves when we're just more in tune with that spiritual side.
And absolutely. And interestingly enough, now bring it back to pragmatism, I have a 7-day challenge that I do often. And the first day of the challenge, because I think this is the block for people, is releasing the judgment of other people over what you want to do. So how many people won't do something because they're scared of what their mother, their brother, their sister, their boyfriend, their husband are going to comment about it? And that's a travesty. So a matter of clearing out objective opinions and other people kind of regurgitating their own limiting belief systems on you, and you not having the freedom of the free will to still do what it is that is itching inside of you to do. So that's very important to do that, releasing other people's judgments on you and empowering yourself to be your own creative force in your life.
Well, Caitlin, when you say that, you know, that word travesty, like we think about, you know, the graveyard. The graveyard is the wealthiest place on the world. Why? Because it's where there's just millions and millions of ideas that went to the grave and they never came to fruition because of that exact thing that you're talking about right now. Somebody had an idea for a new business or a book that they want to write, or maybe, you know, missionary work they want to do, but somebody in their life said no, or somebody told them, you know, you're not amounting to anything. And then those ideas just went down to the grave with them.
And honestly, they're so responsible for that. You know, I'm all about accountability and responsibility. So what? Your neighbor, your brother, your husband is saying that to you, and if it's abusive, then you need to get out, and you need to figure out how to get out, and that's it. Because I'm a little bit hardcore in this respect, that if this is what's happening, then you don't want to take the action, then accept that you're not going to take the action and let the idea go. Because if you're going to keep in your mind rehashing, oh, I wish I could do this, I wish I could do that, and you're not going to take the move to do it, then that's just causing you more anxiety and issue, and just forget it. You're not going to do it. I mean, I would definitely support you in trying to find out a way that you can do it. However, at the end of the day, if you're going to be in that state, you're going to be a victim to that, and you will dig that, as you say, to the grave. But ultimately, we have the free will to choose that. And it's the step-by-step takes that you have to take in order to shift your perspective to choosing to just be alive and to, you know, make a commitment to being alive and to fulfilling your purpose. I mean, I think that that's always been, for better or for worse, I've always been very passionate in my belief system and in my desire to live a life of passion and purpose. And for me, there's no other way to do it. So in that regard, you know, I went through trying times because of that. But, you know, everyone has a different ability to function. And I can't function unless I am in a state of freedom for passion and creation, you know, things that I find are my incarnational purpose. And I think that it's everyone's duty to find that. But, you know, before getting to that, you know, you have to start again. You have to let go of your parents. You have to take responsibility for what you're thinking and how you're interacting with others. And from there, you have to just, you know, start to just be.
Oh, man. Caitlin, so much awesomeness in today's show. And I could hear it in your voice, just so much passion behind what drives you and what fuels you to make a difference in this world. And, you know, we're at the end of today's episode, but I want you to just really quickly let everybody know how they can opt in to that challenge that you just mentioned earlier.
Oh, sure. It's spiritualizeyourself.com. There's a coaching button on the left tab. You can sign up there through a email link.
Excellent.
I have it varying places at sometimes, but yeah, that's a good one. There's a lot of content too, actually, for the last cycle on it. I think on YouTube is where it would be.
Awesome. So guys, we're going to have Caitlin on again tomorrow, and you know, we're going to talk a little bit about some just actionable things that you can do now. We kind of talked more broad strokes today, but, you know, we're going to try to get into the nitty gritty tomorrow. And also, we're going to talk about, you know, the My Heart Breathes. Caitlin, I'm super excited about that. I know that's launching very soon, and it's going to be awesome. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Dr. Tom. All the best.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com, sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.